Hey, greetings everyone. It's Brother James, DontPerish.com. John 4:24 radio. Hey, I got a topic, teaching topic today for this audio. Poor in spirit. We want to talk about poor in spirit. What it means to be poor in spirit. I got a quick backstory for you. Some brothers and I were going over some things, and one of the brothers needed some help in some things he was going through. And one of the other brothers, right about that time, brought up poor in spirit. Actually, he brought it up before this brother started going through some troubles. And that poor in spirit was like helpful to find out who we are, what we need to be like to serve Christ. And then, this is pretty interesting, we're trying to figure out among brothers what we're going to study. So we came up with this idea of we all put in three or four ideas. We write it down on a piece of paper and then we put it in a pile, and we each take turns and we basically cast lots. Remember, they cast lots for a disciple, and it's kind of our way of letting the Lord pick what we're going to be studying rather than Brother Tupos, me, picking what we're going to study, or another brother picking. Well, this brother put about 10 things in a pile and he picked it out, and I had told them, I think we need to talk about poor in spirit. I think this is really meaningful. It's timely. The Lord brought it up. This brother, out of 10 topics, picked blindly, and what did he come up with? Poor in spirit. So I just want to praise the Lord there. I think it was meant to be, and we're going to be getting on the phone talking about it. We'll do an audio on it. But I wanted to do my own study for my teaching blog. Poor in spirit, what does it mean? Let's read it. Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. All right, so the question we need to ask, is Jesus talking about poor, as in you lack material things, or is he talking about you're poor and lacking in something spiritual? Well, we always like to look at the Greek words. The Greek word is phokos. It means beggar, without material goods. So definitely means poor, without material goods. Someone that lacks material things, material possessions, a poor person. So if we just read that and we move on, we're going to go, oh, he's talking about material goods. Not so. Remember, one of the key things about Bible study is always context, right? We always study in context because words can be used different ways interchangeably. I'll give you an example. I always tell people, I love pizza, I love my wife, I love God. All right, same word, very different context. Now, I don't like to say I love food or I love cars or I love, you know, my gospel van. I like to say I like or I appreciate. So love is really not a good definition, but you get my point. We use those words interchangeably. So what's the context? I clearly love my wife and God more than I like or enjoy pizza. What's the context of this poor? Well, Jesus says poor in spirit. That is the key here that we need to focus on. And what we can do is we can flip this on its head and look at the opposite side. What was it like when Jesus talked about just the poor? All right, let's look at some of these. Matthew 19:21. Jesus said unto him, if thou will be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast and give to the poor. There's no mention of spirit there. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. That was when he was dealing with the rich man. Matthew 26:9. For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. Another context there where the woman dumped the ointment on Jesus rather than selling it to the poor. Judas wanted it to be sold. He was just a thief anyway, but that was his idea, was give the money to the poor. No mention of poor in spirit there. Matthew 26:11. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. So again, poor, not poor in spirit. So there's no mention of the spirit there. Those were all poor in material goods. So I just wanted to give you a little bit of a contrasting side. When Jesus talks about poor, no mention of spirit, he's talking about the material of poor. But if we read on in Matthew 5, remember context, read the verses around the verses you're trying to understand. Sometimes you read the whole chapter, the whole book. We see that the spiritual context jumps right out. It's about inner spiritual things. Let's read Matthew 5:4-12. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So if you go through and you read that whole context, the entire context of Matthew 5 is those who are poor in spiritual things. We're going to get to exactly what that means, not talking about material things. They hunger for spiritual things. They hunger for heavenly things, not material earthly things or wealth. I think you all probably know this, but let's just say it. You can be a poor beggar with nothing and be rich in eternal things. Or you can be a billionaire with stuff all over the place and you're a beggar when it comes to eternal things. So think about that. That's the difference. That's the difference we're talking about. Poor in material things versus poor in spiritual things. Now, if we look at Luke 6, where Jesus talks, this is kind of a blending of the material poor and then the poor in spirit. Luke 6, 17 through 26. And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people of all of Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, Blessed be the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate from you their company, and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner did the fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for you shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all shall speak well, and all men shall speak well of you, for so did the fathers of the false prophets. So if you go back there and look, that's a blending of the material poor and then talking about being spiritually poor. And when I read that, when I think of this topic, I think of what Peter said, talking about the blending where his disciples and how they were poor either in spirit or material things. Peter, who's a fisherman, gave up everything. It was a good living back then. Being a fisherman was a good living, okay? And I think this is quite telling when we read Matthew 19, 23 through 30. All right, let's read that. Matthew 19, 23 through 30. And then Jesus said to his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Here's the part right here. And then Peter answered and said unto him, Behold, we've forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye shall also sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sister, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So I just wanted to read that to show you the contrast. His disciples gave up a lot. They were materially poor. They gave up their jobs, their careers to follow him. And so that was the blending of the materially poor, spiritual poor. But Matthew 5 is totally focused on poor in spirit. So now that we kind of laid a foundation, what does it mean to be poor in spirit? Well, I like to sum it up all this way. Poor in spirit versus puffed up and prideful. Think of that. Poor in spirit versus puffed up and prideful. Poor in spirit is when you're humble about who you are, where you come from, what you need to gain eternal life, what you need for forgiveness, what you need to live out for the kingdom of God. While prideful is boastful and arrogant about who you are, what you've done, what you do, what you live for. Yeah. Poor in spirit versus the prideful and the puffed up. You know, God hates pride. I think you all know that. Proverbs 11:2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. So this is about poor in spirit means I know I'm low compared to God and his kingdom and Christ, and that I need him more and more every day. Psalm 10:2, the wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. Yeah. How about this thought? Satan fell into pride, the very first sin. And if you think about it, all sin is rooted in pride. If I think I'm something, it's pride. If I want to steal, it's prideful. If I want to look and covet someone else's goods, it's prideful. If I think I know better than God, it's prideful. Almost every sin, everyone I can think of, is rooted in pride somehow. You know, God destroys people over pride. Ezekiel 16:49. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride. Fullness of bread and abundance of idleness was in her and her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. Yeah, it was more than sexual sin, homosexuality, that God destroyed Sodom for. Most people don't know that. Jesus said this, Mark 7, 21-23. For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetous, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy. Those are bad things, right? Next word, pride and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. So yeah, pride defiles you. This is what it is, being poor in spirit versus puffed up and prideful. I'm going to give you some examples of poor in spirit in a minute. Paul said this in 1 Timothy 3:6, but a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. So men that are new in the faith shouldn't be teaching because pride can puff them up. They need to learn a stability, a maturity, work on their foundation, see that it's all about Christ, that we have nothing. Many times when people are younger in the faith, they begin to think, I've got this going on, when they don't realize it's all about the Lord. The longer you walk, the more you learn that. That's why novices shouldn't be teachers, according to God's word. It comes down to this, if we're prideful, if we think that we're something when we're not, trusting in our own ways, our own talents, our own efforts, our own experiences, our own past, versus the Lord alone. As a street preacher, I go out and I do some bold things, and I'm often accused of being prideful and arrogant and thinking I got it all going on. Well, you know what? I always have to tell people this, and anyone who knows me is close in my life can testify that I say this. I have nothing to offer. I'm a dumb ex-wood carver when it comes to eternal things, when it comes to wisdom. What do I have? But never mistake my boldness for pride in me, because you know what? You take away the spirit and the word from me, I'm a pauper. I got nothing. I know that. I tell people that when I preach boldly, I'm preaching God. I believe it's the spirit preaching through me. I have nothing to add to anyone to help them into God's kingdom in and of myself. It's all of Christ and his word. I know that well. I believe that means that you have a poor in spirit mindset, knowing you got nothing and it's all about Christ. Does that make sense to you, saints and seekers, if you're listening? Now, Brother Paul addressed this directly. 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Yeah, I think about that all the time. When I go out to street preach or I teach, I am very cautious about what I say, how I say it, because you know what? I can fall. I am nobody without the gospel, the spirit, and the word, and the truth. And if I get away from that, I will look foolish. I will fall into sin. I will fall into false ways. Yeah, I cling closely to the word of God, like a bulldog on a bone, I always say. When I was a kid, we had a bulldog. And if you gave him a soup bone, you could carry him around. He wouldn't let it go. You could carry him around while he held on the bone if you picked up the bone. Yep. I want to be like that with the word of God, the truth of God, the spirit of God, because I got nothing else. I think that is what this verse, poor in spirit, is aiming towards. My main point about this, trying to drive home here, is to be prideful or puffed up is to be rich in your own ways, and that leads to death, right? Proverbs 14:12, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. You think you know the way? Adding pagan holidays to God's truth, corrupting the gospel, pretending you can live like the world and still claiming to be holy, pretending that you can have two masters, the world, your career, your 401k, and God, all these things that God's word says no to. Now that's prideful and puffed up to think you can do that. That's not being low and poor in spirit. But to be poor in spirit is what? As usual, I'm out in the street and parking lot, cars are driving by. To be poor in the spirit is what? To be emptied of your own ways, right? And to crave and seek and desire the eternal, true, pure, good ways of the Lord and his kingdom. That's what we're talking about here. Empty yourself out. You're poor. You got nothing in spirit. Poor in spirit. But you seek after the riches of our Heavenly Father in high places in his word. I also think to be poor in spirit here on earth is to not be about earthly things more than heavenly things. I know you got to work. I know you got to sleep. I know you got to eat. I know you got to walk through this world. I do it every day with my wife, Sister Amen, as we're out preaching, but we're not of the world. No, we're not of the world. Colossians 3:1-3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand before God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So that verse tells us we should be setting our eyes on eternal things, not on temporal things. All right? And that helps you be poor in spirit, right? Because if you realize that all these earthly things are going to burn away, it's going to be a new heaven, new earth, that's all going to burn away, you realize this is nothing. I could own the whole world. In fact, Jesus said, what good if a man, prophet, gained the whole world but loses his soul? That's what we're talking about. Poor in spirit versus prideful and puffed up. So examine yourselves, 2 Corinthians 13:5, to see where you fall in this. Here's a little bit of a litmus test we can use. If you have pride, you're focused on the culture, your man-made religious traditions, defending Baptist, Roman Catholic, Mormon, whatever, your abilities, your intelligence, you think you're really smart and got something to offer, your looks, your accomplishments, material things you have, money, possessions, house, fashion, you dress in pride and vanity to show yourself off, your status with men, you know, people like me, I'm really liked, I'm popular, talents, right? You fancy and enjoy all the things of this fallen fleshly world, career, hobbies, you crave the fleshly entertainment, political stabilities, you love a life here on this earth, which is really Satan's kingdom. You love the world. Hey, 1 John says you don't have the love of God if you love the world. You're rich in these worldly, carnal ways. You're running on them and your ways daily. You kind of dabble with the things of God a little bit here and there. You don't see yourself as poor, lowly, needy, humble, a beggar before God. You don't see your need to be made new daily in Christ, dying to your flesh more and more, striving for holiness, righteousness, and truth, Ephesians 5:9, the fruits of the Spirit. You don't see the need to surrender more of him. You even rebel. Ready? This is a big one. When God's word and the gospel and holiness is preached, you rebel against it, fight against it. Verses clinging and running to it with all that you are to learn, to grow, to build your foundation. No, which one are you doing? No, if that's you, you are not poor in spirit. You're prideful, You're puffed up. You're running on things other than that which is eternal from the Father in Christ. Yeah. These are the kind of people who treat Jesus. I see it all the time as I'm street preaching. Jesus is a get out of hell card in their back pocket. They walk by saying, I got him. While they live worldly, act worldly, and they don't love, and they don't know the gospel. Or these are the people that say, I'm not a bad person. I should go to heaven. I'm better than most people. I go to church every Sunday. My pastor preaches right from the Bible, though we have a lot of sin there. I don't need Christ's sacrifice. Yeah, I made my own way. I have my own beliefs. Yeah, these are often religious, partial people who favor their own ways and their own people in their life, but they're prideful, puffed up. They're not poor in spirit for the things of God and his kingdom. Do you see the picture I'm painting here? Now, the flip side. What's the flip side? If you're born of God by the gospel, check it out at don'tperish.com, and you've died to yourself fully, you see your need of God in Christ in all your ways, the closer you get to God, this is key, the closer you get to God in his ways, the more you see how far you are as a human being from the holiness of God. Oh, that's so true. You run to the Word, to the Spirit, not earthly wisdom, not man-made traditions. You see that you're poor in yourself, and you need all that God offers us in the Word, in the Spirit, in Christ, in grace, in forgiveness, to lift you up every day. Lift you up so you can follow him and serve him. You long for goodness, holiness, truth, righteousness, justice, and to see him one day face to face, serving him until that happens faithfully, even through persecution and unto death, losing family, friends, career, everything, trading it all, losing this life, Matthew 10, to seek after the kingdom of God and to glorify Christ. You live to tell people of him every day as you can, and you'll witness to the drunk in the gutter or the millionaire or your relatives with no partiality. And you simply desire to not live your own light, but to live in and through him with all that you are. You decrease and Christ increases. Yeah, the greatest man on earth said that. The greatest man to ever live per Jesus was John the Baptist. He said that in John 3:30. If you are that, I'm telling you, that truly is poor of spirit. Seeing your great need and seeing how much you lack. I want to give you this section of scripture. Jesus spoke of a lifted up man and a lowly man. This probably sums it up really well. Luke 18:10-14. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood there and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing far off, would not even so much as lift his eyes up into heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, but he that humble himself shall be exalted. Yeah, that man just humbled himself. Oh, he had to repent of his sin. He can't live in it. He can't linger in it. But he knew who he was, a fallen, broken man that needed the mercy, grace, truth of God, as we should all know that. That's a great example of poor in spirit versus prideful and puffed up. Do you see my point? One of my favorite verses, Brother Peter, 1 Peter 4:18. And if the righteous are scarcely saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Yeah, do you look at yourself and you go, you know what? I'm pretty good. You know, I've changed a lot. I hear this all the time from people. Oh, I've given up drugs and I've given up porn and I've given up alcohol. I'm doing really good, they say, as they're living worldly, carnal, man-made religion, and they stop after those big sins are taken care of. I'm doing good, they say. What does Peter say? The righteous are scarcely saved. Compared to the glory and the magnificence and the holiness and the righteousness of God in heaven, and you look at me and you, you got to be poor in spirit and say, you know what? I'm nothing compared to this creator, eternal God, Alpha, Omega, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the beginning and the end. That's to be poor in spirit, to see yourself in the right place before God. So many people are puffed up. Oh, God should let me into heaven. Really? Why? Yeah, kind of Job. In the beginning, Job kind of said, hey, what about this? What about that? And God said, where were you when I created the foundations of the world? Kind of put Job in his place. Yeah. So knowing you have nothing that God wants or needs is a big part of it. God does want one thing. He wants your will to turn and place your faith in Christ and love him. He wants your will. That's what God does want. But to know that we're nothing else before God, that's to be poor in spirit. It's having a low view of yourself and the highest view of Christ and his high holy ways, and then striving for it for his glory, not your glory. I always marvel at these men that have ministries and they name it after themselves. John Smith Ministry. It's like, I thought you're lifting up Christ. What are you doing? Yeah, I think you see the point in that. I want to give you some examples of in Scripture of lowly, poor in spirit men that went before us that God used greatly. Ready? Exodus 3:11. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Yeah, Moses was like, I don't even speak good. Lowly, humble. Judges 6:15. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am at least in my father's house. Yeah, he had a lowly, humble spirit before God. Isaiah 6:5. And then I said, woe is me, for I have undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. See that? A lowly, humble, contrite, poor in spirit mindset. Jeremiah 1:6. Then say I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Yeah, who am I going to do this? What? I'm going to represent the King of Kings, the Creator, Lord God Almighty, Jehovah. Low in spirit, right? 2 Samuel 7:18. And then went King David in and sat before the Lord and said, who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me here to? Yeah, David, after all he went through, had a poor in spirit mindset. Let's go to the New Testament. I just mentioned John the Baptist. Greatest man that ever lived per Jesus. John 1:27. He it is who cometh after me is preferred before me, whose shoe laces, basically, I am not worthy to unloose. In some translation it says sandals. Whose sandals I'm not worthy to unlace. Yeah, John knew his place before a holy God. Humble, poor in spirit. Luke 5:8, brother Peter. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Humble, poor in spirit, broken, lowly man. Brother Paul, 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, in whom I am chief. All right, so Paul is not saying that he lives in sin willfully. Paul's saying, I used to be a murderer. And he doesn't do that anymore. No, he repented of that. But he had a lowly, humble, poor in spirit mindset, knowing Christ was everything to him. All these men, great examples of lowly, poor in spirit people that God used, and they knew that they needed him. And he lifted them up and made them rich in the eternal things of God. I want to be like that. As I'm closing out here, I want to share with you what I always tell beggars, panhandlers, because I deal with them every day in the streets out here. I reach out to them. They always get help if they're hungry. They always get a need filled. Then they get the gospel. They get the offer of Bible study and to come seek the kingdom of God. And then they're told lovingly, you know, most of them have two arms, two legs, and they look healthy. We're not talking about armless people that can't work. Nope. These men are told, you need to get a job because it's sin to not work. Paul says, you don't work, you don't eat. And they usually look at me and go, yeah, I understand that. And I tell them this, ready? I say, you do not need to be a beggar before men. You need to work and provide for yourself. But you know what? The truth is, I tell them, we are all beggars before a thrice holy God. We are spiritually bankrupt souls that we need him more and more. The more we live, the older we get, the smarter we get, the more we know how much we need him. and his grace and his mercy and his love and his forgiveness and his truth and his spirit with every heartbeat, with every breath we breathe. If we believe that, if we really believe that, then we change our ways. That's called repentance. And we strive, we kill our flesh, we conform to the kingdom of God, his high heavenly ways, not our own, not the culture, not man-made religion. And this glorifies our King. We love and obey him to glorify our King. We're all to be a humble beggar before God. That's to be poor in spirit. And then guess what? We get to live rich by his spirit and truth and all he's given us. Think of that. You could be a poor beggar in the gutter. Bible says, just be happy with food and raiment. And you could be that. That's all you got, food and raiment. But you can be rich when it comes to the things of eternity, the Father's word. I love that. One of my favorite verses, Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Yeah, that's being rich in eternal things and poor in your spirit, knowing you need God and his word. Absolutely. Our Lord and Savior knew that while we would be on earth serving him, we're going to lack and we're going to have great trials. He told you, you'll have much tribulation. But he also knew if we keep his eyes on him, he's already won the victory. John 16:33, he's overcome. We will have much and we will never, ever lack for what's most important, and that is eternal truth, provision to serve him and know him, and the beacon that takes us home by the word, by the spirit. And how do we get honed in on that beacon? If we live lowly, humble, contrite, repentive, listening to the word of God, listening to that conviction inside us by the Holy Spirit, that's to be poor in spirit. Empty ourselves. We're poor. We got nothing. And Christ will fill us up with the living water and guide us home. Hey, I hope that helps you understand what we're talking about, poor in spirit. As I said, go examine yourself today and see where you stand in that poor in spirit versus prideful, puffed up traditions of men, loving the culture, thinking you're something when you're not. My website, don'tperish.com, is there to help you walk in the ways of God. It's there to help train you up, call you out of man-made religion. And you could shoot me an email, and I'd be happy to help you anytime in the things of God. We love you all. Traveling the country, preaching Christ crucified, getting ready for a farmer's market this weekend. I love preaching farmer's markets. It's like, I feel like I'm in the biblical marketplace. And then we have a river walk, or it's kind of an ocean walk that we're going to be on. And then we'll be on Saturday afternoon. And then we'll be at a church on Sunday, a man-made church system, calling people to repentance, calling them to be low, poor in spirit, and hungry for the truth of God. Hey, I love you all. Till next time, go out, have a glorious day. May God be praised.